Greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May His grace and mercy and peace be upon each one of us as we follow Him and trust in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We thank You for all that You do, providing for us. Lord, help us forgive those, Lord, who've trespassed against us, Father, knowing that Your promise is to do the same to us, Father. We thank You again for Your goodness, Lord, Your great mercies. Lord, help us recognize these things as we live our life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, again, I want to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. We'll just use this part of this chapter, maybe all of it, we'll read it here. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, an individual member, individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to this morning we'll kind of go back and forth here. What I wanted to bring out is the Lord's will for our lives. it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. King James, of course, it says, which is your reasonable service. Just presenting your body to God. Whenever we think about what do we have to offer God? Sometimes we read stories or histories, or in the Bible we read often about men who God used in a great way. And we lift them up and kind of make heroes out of them. And we look up at them and see them almost as something higher than human. And so we create this image of a godly man because he was able to do great things. We almost turn them into some kind of superhero. The Bible is very clear that we are all, even Elijah was a man of like passions, just like we were. Jesus himself, the very idea, we think of, you know, well, God is come in the flesh. The idea is everyone thinks, well, he was God. He was different than all of us because he was God. But yet, they deny that he came in the flesh and dwelt among us and lived right here, tempted like all men. In every point, the Bible says, just like we were. The thing that makes Jesus the offer, the offering, and the sacrifice was that was acceptable to God was that he was a faithful man. It wasn't the fact that he was God that made him acceptable to God. It was the fact that Jesus executed the office, the life of a man the way God wanted him to be. It wasn't that he was God that made him the ultimate sacrifice. It was that he was a man that carried out and lived the life of a man that God wanted him to live. It's just that simple. I was heard a message. Things are so messed up. I heard a message, and there was a question asked even this week about God and his sacrifice. And this message brought out that Jesus came to save us. You know, everybody says, wow, that's wonderful. But have you ever listened to the message of what the world says that Jesus came to save us from? Jesus came to save us from an angry God. Jesus came to save us from the words that God had written. And they started telling all the law and all the rules and how men were just slaved and they just needed to be saved from God's word. That's what Jesus came to save them from. That's what their message is. That the liberty that they have is because Jesus came into this world to save them from an angry God and to save them from the way God wanted them to live. That's what they came. That's their message. The evangelical message is that Jesus came into this world to save you from God and from God's word, so that you don't have to worry yourself or trouble yourself about being what God wants you to be. That, from the very beginning, almost disqualifies anyone that's trusting in something like that from ever becoming what God wants them to be. Yes, I don't believe Jesus came just to make us a bunch of robots so that we learn how to keep rules. You know, you can teach a dog how to obey, and they'll do it happily. But you can't make them have the heart, the character of being what God has created them to be. That's what Jesus came to restore us, to set us free. Yeah, to set us free from all those things that would hinder us so that we could be what God wants us to be. And this verse starts out, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. All you have to offer God is the body that you live in. Because you are the one driving that body. You're the one in control of it. And all you can do is say, God, here it is. Here I am. I'll be yours. And that is your reasonable service. This is just, if I was to give you something and say this is yours, but I want you to operate it this way. This is the way it will work. If I would give you a little machine that does a certain thing, and I say, if you will operate that machine this way, it will perform the way it's intended to do. That is just reasonable service. That is just reasonable service. But if you start trying to do it backwards or upside down or some other way, it isn't going to work. It's unreasonable to try to make it perform the way it's supposed to if you try to do it some other way. Our reasonable service is God gave us this body to live for Him. Jesus was a man in the flesh. And He lived for 33 years. Guess what? We don't hear much out of Him. We don't hear much out of Him until He turned 30 years old. What was He doing? Was He writing books? Was He becoming a real religious superstar? Or was He just being faithful where He was at? We look at all these people in the Bible that we lift up and hold up as just real superstars. Do you know where they were when God called them? There was, David. What was he doing? All of his brothers were out there trying to impress the king. What was David doing? He was just minding his own business, taking care of what God had placed him to do. And he was found faithful. God cannot use anyone that is not faithful. The heart of what I'm trying to say is, if you're not a good man, you cannot be a godly man. If you're not a good young man, a good boy, trying to please and doing what you're supposed to be doing, you'll never be a Christian. Because this is what God has called us to do. This is our life. And if we can't maintain, and if we can't do the very basics, then He has no use for you for anything else. I think it was Gideon. He was he threshing wheat? And they were in slavery. He'd probably heard about heroes and how they had delivered their country of Israel. And all he was doing was threshing wheat. But he was threshing that wheat just like God had told him to do it. And he was being faithful in the little position of threshing wheat. Then God could use him. God cannot use someone who is useless. If you're not, and there's a difference. There's a difference. God uses humble things. God uses broken things. God uses things that the world may not see any reason for or use for. But if whatever you're doing is just being completely faithful in the position that you're in, God can use that. He doesn't need you to be a superstar. He doesn't need you to be a super athlete. He doesn't need you to be those things that the world thinks are wonderful and high and big. He just needs you to be faithful in the little place that you are. We have this high and lofty idea of what it means to be a disciple, to be a Christian, to be one of the trailblazers, to be a missionary, to do all those things. But God can only use who He can depend on. And if He gives you the least little thing, and He can't trust you with that, He won't give you any more. Bible, Jesus talks about that. He said, "He that is faithful in the least will be given more." That's all He asks from you. Sometimes we get discouraged. "Oh, it's my life. I just get up in the morning. I fix breakfast. I eat. Go to work. I come home. God wants more from me. Why isn't He using me? Why ain't I a disciple somewhere out just blazing a path, just preaching, really tearing it up? I'm just living this boring life. Meeting people, working with people every day." We want to be something way out there, someone way up there. And we're not even being faithful with the person that you work with every day that's kind of grumpy and you can't hard to get along with. We don't even know how to be a light to him. We don't even know how to just be at work when we're supposed to be at work. We don't even know how to just be doing the work that's assigned to us without complaining about it or wishing I had more time off or whatever. We can't even take care of those things. And if we can't do that, how is God ever going to use you? One time a man told me that to be careful of being so holy, so heavenly minded that I would be of no earthly value. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, I think he's wrong. I think he's wrong. And I understand what he's saying. There is a point where we become so spiritual and so holy in our own eyes and so lofty in our own opinion of ourselves, like it's talking about here, that we become so godly to everyone around us. And we put on these airs and we look like we're religious and we talk all the religious things. We read about all the histories and all the people of those that have gone on before. And we long to just be a part of their suffering. To be a part of that, what they had. And we imagine this in our own eyes, and we imagine ourselves as these super spiritual. We're the saints. We're the holy ones of God. And to the whole world, we're worthless. Nothing but religious hypocrites that imagine ourselves to be direct heirs to all these holy people, when those holy people were doing nothing but being faithful right where they're at. And God saw fit to put persecution on them. God saw fit to put them through some real trials. And we, like the boys' lesson, we have these little trials and we just imagine ourselves being persecuted or being picked on. People have the victim mentality. That's one of the most wicked things there is in this world. And we long we just imagine that we're a part of that culture until we just begin to imagine it and bring it all on ourselves, that everyone's picking on me because I'm a Christian. That's a bunch of nonsense. We're not content just to be faithful where we're at. We have to imagine that we're part of this religion and so we have to start creating this stuff for ourselves. And we have to start GMO, we know what that is. Genetically modified. What's the last word? Genetically modified something. I don't know what it is. Organism. Okay. A genetically modified organism is something that they go in and they mess with the integrity of the thing and create something else. Instead of just being organic. Christianity is organic. And whenever we try to go in and manipulate some history or manipulate something in me or manipulate something, what we have may appear really good. It may appear like a hybrid. It may just grow better. It may resist disease a whole lot better. It may just isolate itself. But it's genetically modified. A Christian is someone who is being what God made them to be. Not having to put out this image that there's something other than that. Not having to feel like I'm following a pattern that someone else set before and get the same results. We've talked about this before, that if you want to be like the early Christians, you don't study the early Christians to see what they believed and try to pattern yourself and fit yourself in their pattern. You be a man. You be a woman. You be a young man that follows Jesus. And the organic fruit of that, pretty soon you might find yourself persecuted just for trying to do the simple things that God wants you to do. Most of my life, I've been through a few things. And one of the things I regret is almost everything I've been through, I see my dirty paw prints all over it. I could just about blame myself for everything I've been through. But just to do what God has called you to do. Jesus said, if those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Does that mean every moment of your life you're just going to have to look over your shoulder about somebody chasing you? No. Because there's times that life is peaceful. But whenever you're trying to modify something different, when there's a time of peace, you're running from shadows all over because you're getting ready to be persecuted. You're hiding from everything. You imagine people persecuting you. You can't take anything that anyone says against you without, oh, they're persecuting me. That's the heart of this world right now. The politically correct speech that no one can take anything. Another man told me, I think it was the same man, said, if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to have a heart that's soft and skin like an alligator. A soft heart and skin like an alligator. Because there's people going to say all kinds of things about you, and you're going to hear all kinds of things. It needs to penetrate. It needs to be deflected. That'd be one message for the whole world could hear. We see people that are professing to be Christians, and every little thing they say, it offends them and it hurts them, and they get all bent out of shape. And oh, that's what Jesus meant when he said, they'll persecute you. No, it's not. Can you imagine those people being tied on to a rack and being stretched, their bodies cut and bruised and whipped and beat, bleeding? Oh, I don't know whether you're a good Christian or not, and getting their feelings hurt about it. And we can't put ourselves in that place until it happens. But if we try to, we'll never get there. And it mean anything. We can force persecution on ourselves. We can go out there and be an idiot. Make people mad at us. Be real religious and shun everybody and turn everybody off. And then say, they're just persecuting me because I'm a Christian. That's hogwash. Whenever we try to create something like that, you know what happens whenever the real opportunities come? We run like rabbits from them. It's worthless. Be content wherever God has called you. Be content to be faithful right where you're at. All this whole verse here, he talks about presenting our bodies. And don't be conformed to the world. What is the world? We think, it's the music they listen to. It's the TV they watch. That's just a little bitty part of the world. Part of the world is popular right now. This political correctness. Not being able to take anything that anybody says about it. That is worldly. That is the spirit of the world right now. All of those things that the world is doing, it don't matter if you dress them up in a plain dress and put a covering on your head. Worldly is in your heart. Then he goes on, for this grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. It's a privilege to be a follower, a servant of Jesus. It's not an entitlement to be a king and act like that here. We are followers of Jesus. We are followers. Servants. This man worked in his father's, mother's, maybe, I don't know how it worked, in the carpenter shop. Who is this carpenter, they said, being able to say these things? Because he was just a simple man, being faithful right where God had put him. And if he wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have been what God wanted him to be. They were looking for a king, someone to stand up and say, yeah, I'm from God. You need to listen to me. That's not what he did. He grew up working as a servant. And he couldn't stand the people that were saying, I'm from God. Listen to me. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a nobody. Someone that nobody really cares about what they say. And we begin to think everybody ought to listen to me. I'm from God. When you get that, you're wrong. You're wrong. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. We talk about having the truth. And so we get it and we nail it down, and that's not sound judgment. Whenever we have an opinion formed about something, and some fact changes about that opinion, and you don't change your mind, you're deceived. That's not sound judgment. Judgment is able to live and walk. And when some things come at us and they change our minds, and they show us something different, we have to change our minds and conform to that, because we're making a sound judgment. It's something that we live and breathe. It's not something that we nail down. For just as we have many members in one body, and the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. He said, present your bodies. And then he begins to explain what he means by that. You don't exalt yourself. You don't see that someone has, in a part of the body, they function a little bit differently. And so we don't begin to condemn them. We just work together. It's a blessing. A man that was come and saw us working together this week. And he just said, you never see that anywhere. You just don't see that. He was shocked by it. And a lot of times, we just take it for granted. We just take it for granted that this is the way it's supposed to be. And it's a blessing. But don't take it for granted. Remember that it's a blessing. I mean, we got just working with the brethren, and somebody will have a suggestion, and somebody will have something, and they just know they're right. And well, okay, let's look at your way. That's just a blessing to work together that way. And a lot of people don't have that. Since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly. And then he goes on, if prophesy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, if serving, if he who teaches is teaching, he who exhorts is exhortation, he who gives liberally, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There's people that excel in some of those things. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. It is hard sometimes for us to discern good and evil. It is hard for us sometimes. This world is so deceptive. The world can come as an angel of light, but he's really a servant of Satan. Cling to what is good. Look at what is good and follow after it. Our minds can become so poisoned that it's what we hear or what we think instead of what is good that we're following after. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. These are just really simple things that simple instructions. Contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. And he goes on, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be on the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Jesus, this is where we believe. Jesus says, what we've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The way we treat each other is the way we are treating Jesus. But don't be haughty about that. Don't take it on yourself. Sometimes we become discontent because we don't think that life is exciting enough being a Christian. Jesus is looking for the faithful. The faithful that just are there. Now, just some things to think about. Just wrote down a couple of things. Be faithful. We can be faithful. This to be loyal to one another. To be loyal to one another. Loyalty. That's just a... Anybody can be loyal when everything's just going great. But what happens when a brother stumbles or struggles or starts having problems? What do we do with them? What about your brother and sister? Whenever everything, when you're eating pie and everything's great, and everybody's got plenty, it's easy to be loyal. Oh, he's my brother. I love my brother. But what happens whenever your brother gets a little ornery and he eats a bite of your pie? Gets there ahead of time and eats it all up before you get any. Who has the opportunity to be the loyal one? That I'm going to still love my brother. He messed up. He'll be all right. I'm going to forgive him. Who has the opportunity to be the loyal one? Be content to be loyal. Be content to be faithful. Be content to be dependable. To be dependable. One of the biggest compliments a man ever told me, he said, "You're a rock. You're a rock." He was telling about some people, telling some about what they were doing. They were doing big things. And then he just looked at me and he said, "You're a rock." I appreciated that. Just being a rock. And it was just a simple thing that I just wanted to follow Jesus. It wasn't because I exalted myself. I just did what I thought I needed to do. And stayed with it. That's been one of the hardest things whenever things begin to shake and I begin to wonder what... But just to be faithful and dependable and a rock. Be content to be a rock. Be content to be dependable. Be content to whatever they may say about you at work. He'll be there. He'll take care of it. We can trust Him with it. Even when they might not even say that. Even when they're saying, "Oh, He'll tear it up." because they're trying to make themselves appear better, because they're trying to clamor and get ahead. You be content to let your record be, no matter what anybody says about it. Be content to be honest. There's where I get back to honesty. Honesty isn't having everything figured out. Honesty isn't just saying this is the truth and I'm standing on it. Honesty is being able to look at everything and make a proper judgment on it. Not a judgment that is written in concrete, but to analyze. Jesus said, judge with righteous judgment, not with appearance. What appears that way. And we are so idolatrous of nature. Last week we talked about that we don't believe the Bible because we don't believe the Bible is true because it's the Bible. We don't believe it's true because it's written in the Bible. We believe what's written in the Bible is true because it's true. We believe when we read this book, we don't believe it because it was some thing handed down to us and it's just truth. And so we got to just believe it. We believe the Bible is true because what it is saying is truthful. It's true when it talks about loving our enemies and all those things. Those are good things. And we believe it because of what it's saying is true. We've become so idolatrous. There's so many people that worship this book because it's solid and they worship it, but they're not looking for truth. They'll read it. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's not true. Because it disagrees with them. There's people. We have such an idolatrous to want to put something that's solid that we can see and touch and feel and say, this is truth. So we write it down and call it our truth. But that's not being honest. Being honest is pursuing the truth in the way we live. Be content to be honest. We have to study all this stuff and read it and have it all understood so we can appear to be knowledgeable. But we miss honesty of just being honest with what we see. Being kind. Being kind to one another. This is where we can just learn how to do that from little up. That's what one of the things parents need to instill in their children, to be kind to one another. I think that's just some, we've talked about it a little bit. I think that's where some of the little girls get together. Pretty soon we got a ringleader among them, and then they're pushing one another aside. They'd be better off standing right beside you than being in a little gang. Because they're not learning kindness there among themselves. You're responsible to be taking care of those things. Learn to be kind one to another. Merciful. Respectful. You know, one of the things that I've learned in life is I appreciate a respectful person. I appreciate someone being respectful. Sometimes people carry this idea of we're all just one way too far. I mean, the Bible is full of places where the elders, the older people, are to be respected. And I just appreciate hearing children saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, being polite, being kind, being respectful to those who are older. That brother so-and-so to someone a little older, uncle, I appreciate those things. They're respectful. You may find it hard now when you're younger, but you will appreciate it when you get a little older to see it in somebody a little younger. Just hardly one of the things that probably grates as much as anything is to see some little know-it-all, some just being disrespectful of someone older than they are. It's just, there's nothing pretty or good about it. You can learn these things. And when you can master these things, some of these things, I just mentioned a few, being dependable, being faithful, being loyal, being honest, being kind, being respectful, honoring. Then God might be able to use you. God might be able to use you then. But if He don't do some great thing with you, you be faithful where you are. You polish these things, you hone these things right where you are. And when you die, never having seemed to accomplish anything. I think that's one of the things that eternity will reveal, the judgment will reveal. It isn't the guy making all the noise. It's the little guy that's just being faithful in the little things that Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We've all got different jobs. We've all got different responsibilities. And we're going to be accountable for those things. But if they haven't been put on you, be content just to be faithful right where you're at. And then someday they might put some of that responsibility on you, and then you'll wonder why in the world you ever wanted it. Be faithful where you're at. Study this book. Look for the truth in it that can make you more like Jesus. We spend more time looking at ourselves instead of everybody else. We'll become more like Jesus instead of becoming more like everybody else. The image we look at the most is what we soon become. And if we keep our eyes focused on Christ and how He lived and how He can change me, we can become like Him in His image. But we spend all our time out there looking at everybody else. Guess who we'll become like? Just plain old fact. That's the way it works. Some good counsel here that we read about in this: present our bodies a living sacrifice. And there's some simple ways to do it. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Lord, again, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to be transformed into the image of your Son. Lord, help us love those who would tear us apart, Father. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone have anything you want to share?
Amish man that telling his life story. He's still alive, but he wrote his book. He said how he was doing when he was always a teenager. He just did a lot of reading. He had an inferiority, just felt inferior, and he would just make up for that by being pretty smart and witty a lot of times. And he just take it too far sometimes in the presence of older people. And one time the 2,4-D weed killer had just come out, and the older men were standing around talking about how amazing this stuff is. And finally one of them asked, how's it work? Well, they all just kind of stroked their beards and said, not sure. And this young whippersnapper piped up, I think it just grows itself to death. And they just were stunned for a little bit at his audacity for, without being invited, offered his wisdom like that. And then they just all burst into knee-slapping, hollering laughter at the sheer idea. And he was really embarrassed, but he went home and he checked his books, and that's exactly what the deal was. But he said, I learned from that just don't try to share your great knowledge in the presence of older people like that. they weren't asking for welcome. It's just a rule that young people need to learn, that even though they might have the answers, they don't need to flaunt their knowledge in the presence of older folks. It's respect.
The Lord.
Oh,